won't be able to go on much longer," Dean Blaine interrupted from his seat. "Mr. Stewart has an engagement to which I have agreed to accompany him in fulfillment of our bargain. Let's take one more question, and then you will be dismissed early."
Several hands went up this time. Some were last-minute flurries of determination for the dean to see their participation and up their grade. Others were genuine probes of curiosity. Jacob scanned the crowd and selected one hand a few rows up.
"Okay, you in the sunglasses," Jacob announced, pointing up at Nick.
"Do you have any pepper?" Nick asked.
"Pepper?"
"Or a feather, or a thin line of cloth? Really, anything along those lines?"
Nick said, half of him cursing himself for being the third Melbrook member to ask a question, and half trusting in himself and his gambit. Ever so slowly, a smile crept across Jacob's face. He reached into his pants pocket and pulled out a long case. He popped it open and delicately removed a slender, white feather. It was sturdy as well as slim, and it looked very well cared for.
"Smart kid," Jacob commented.
"What the hell? How did he know you had a feather?"
Stella blurted out.
"Because he's putting himself in my shoes," Jacob replied. "He's wondering, if he were in my situation, how would he use it to his advantage? And he came to the same conclusion I did. You see, teleporting randomly can still be pretty useful for snapping yourself out of dangerous situations. And just because I can't make myself teleport doesn't mean I can't make myself sneeze."
"Crafty," Stella complimented.
"Dangerous," Nick corrected. "It's easy to get caught up in the pity party of what it must be like to be a powered, but we're idiots if we forget that they aren't always helpless. Sometimes a power that can't be controlled is even more hazardous to fight than one that can be."
"Mr. Campbell,"
Dean Blaine cautioned, raising his voice in warning.
"No, it's okay," Jacob said. "The boy is right. You are a fool if you forget that the key word of powered is power. We have it, and some of us have stretched our resourcefulness to its limit for even a shred of more control. If you become heroes, you'll have to deal with powered sometimes. Never underestimate them, or make assumptions. Always be ready to ask yourself, if you had their condition, how would you try to utilize it? Sometimes answering that question will be the difference between winning and losing."
On that note, I'd like to hear a round of applause to thank our guest for taking time out of his day to speak with us, Dean Blaine said. There was a lukewarm sound of clapping that faded away quickly. "You can take your time in going to gym," Dean Blaine said, as the last lone clapper gave up the fight. "The coaches won't be expecting you until your regular time. I thought you might like to take these extra minutes to talk amongst yourselves about what we covered today. That is your choice, though. Just be at gym when the hour arrives."
With that, he and Jacob exited the room, and after a minute or two of waiting to make sure he wouldn't come back, the rest of the class began flowing toward the door as well. Nick gathered up his own things and sighed inwardly. He'd managed to diffuse a lot of the sympathy the class had been building toward Jacob, and in doing so had marked himself as someone with no compassion for powers. It was a bit paranoid, admittedly, to worry that someone would make such a leap from Melbrook students being sympathetic toward powers to suspecting they had once been powers themselves, but Nick often thought of paranoia as nothing more than extreme preparedness. He had done what he had to do, even if it was built on a very unlikely fear. Unlikely was something you learned to account for when you grew up with bipolar luck, though. So Nick reaffirmed that it was necessary to shift the pity toward Jacob, partially into suspicion and fear. Knowing all that, he still felt a sense of guilt rising in his stomach. That, at least, he knew exactly how to deal with. 52. What the fuck was that? These were the words that greeted Dean Blaine as he returned to his office some hours after the class and his errand with Jacob had been finished.
"Mr. Campbell," Dean Blaine said graciously, "my secretary informed me you'd been waiting in my office for some time. I must say, I'm impressed at your patience."
Nick stared back at him stonily. There might have been some emotion in the eyes hidden away by those sunglasses, but the face was an absolute blank. No feeling, no sentiment, no expectation. Only an unending resolve in waiting for his answer.
"Fine, then. That, as you put it, was my attempt to develop some semblance of humane feelings toward Powards," Dean Blaine said.
"Have you ever done it before?" Nick asked.
"Well, no," Dean Blaine admitted.
"Then why, in God's sweet name, would you do it this time?" Nick asked, rising to his feet.
"Because it's more relevant," Dean Blaine replied.
"No, it isn't," Nick corrected him.
"There is no relevance to it at all. Powards are broken products, lesser supers, a group with an unfortunate disability, and not one person in that class needs to think any differently. We're all supers, after all. So who is going to get offended?"
"Mr. Campbell, if you're afraid that my experiment will compromise your secret, I can assure you..."
"Stop," Nick said, holding up his hand. The gesture was unnecessary. The tone of his voice alone would have frozen water. "Do you fully understand how tenuous our position here is? Do you realize what a ridiculous stroke of luck it is that the only real telepath in our class is one of us? Do you think for one moment that you really understand what it will be like if our secret gets out? Let me assure you of something, Dean Blaine. I'm certain your heart is in the right place. But don't you ever fucking dare believe for an instant you know what it's like growing up as a Powered. Until you've seen the looks of disgust and disappointment on people's faces, until you've been literally terrified out of your mind about what you'll cause to happen next, and until you've seen that same fear in the eyes of those you love, only then can you talk to me about how you're doing your best to keep our secret."
"Feel better?" Dean Blaine asked. "That was quite the little monologue."
"It needed to be said," Nick replied. "You're too careless. And I understand today was about trying to help us, but honestly, the best thing you can do to help us is to treat us like everyone else."
"In that case, I should probably kick you out, since you've sworn at the dean of your program twice in the last few minutes,"
Dean Blaine said. "Do what you've got to do," Nick shot back. "Just understand that while Mary and Roy, and maybe even Vince, could still hang on if we got outed, Alice and I wouldn't last a week. We're not the combat type. The only thing that lets us fly through here is being part of the community of supers. If we were targeted or different, there's no way we'd be able to hold on."
"I take it that's why you consistently make grades at almost exactly the median of the class,"
Dean Blaine speculated. "On my best day, it's still tenuous that my power should have gotten me in here," Nick said. "Not making waves is the best strategy I've got."
"Very well, Mr. Campbell," Dean Blaine said. "I'll take what you've said under advisement for my future lessons. I'll do this because this is the first time you've actually talked to me as yourself, the bright, observant boy we both know you to be."
rather than that insipid character you've concocted.
It made more sense to abandon the pretense. Otherwise, I couldn't have had this discussion with you, Nick confessed.
A wise choice. Though I'm sure you'll be playing the same part in our future classroom interactions,
Dean Blaine said. Of course, Nick confirmed.
I can accept that. I do hope you realize my door is always open to you, not just when you wish to go on a tirade. Since you've already shown your true self to me, there's no harm in dropping by to talk. If you would like,
Dean Blaine offered. I'll keep that in mind.
Good. I think we're done then, Mr. Campbell, unless there was something else.
No. As long as there are no more stunts like today, we should be fine, Nick said, turning to go.
Oh, and I should point out that there were two problems with your argument,
Dean Blaine said.
Firstly, Miss Smith is not the only telepath in your year, as you should know from having met Mr. Griffin.
Alex is a nice guy, but he's closer to an empath than a telepath. He rarely gets thoughts, mostly emotions, Nick said.
As far as you know, Dean Blaine pointed out. It would be wise not to underestimate anyone who has made it into my program. That brings up the second problem. Your tenuous power, as you described it, is not what elevated you into the HCP.
Oh? Nick asked, without turning around. He was confident his face was still controlled, but there was no reason to risk giving anything away when it was avoidable.
Indeed. The power qualifies you as a super, but in your evaluation, it was your intelligence and strategic thinking that made you hero material,
Dean Blaine said. Good to know, Nick said, walking to the door and swiftly exiting the dean's office. Somewhere in the course of that conversation, he'd lost his power and momentum, but he'd gained insight into how the dean worked, and that might prove to be invaluable. Aside from that, he'd gotten a slight idea at what Dean Blaine's power might be, and that information he knew would be useful. Now he just had to think of a way to test his hypothesis. After finals, though, even Nick wasn't confident enough to try and take on more projects before the semester ended.
53. I'm glad you talked us into coming out, Herschel told Alex as they entered the living room of a two-story house. The couches were wrapped in plastic, and it seemed someone had laid a blue tarp down on top of most of the carpet. The house was full, though not bursting like the other clubs and parties they had been to. It was loud enough to see that people were having fun, but it hadn't crossed the line into utter pandemonium yet.
I think we all needed it after that bummer of a presentation on Tuesday, Alex said. I mean, I agree with what Dean Blaine was trying to do, but he should have known most people weren't ever going to be sympathetic towards some powered.
You are, Vince pointed out. Alex shrugged.
Nearly everyone thinks I'm crazy or delusional. It's hard for me to get up on my high horse about how I'm so much better than someone else. Besides, that's not the Jedi way.
The Jedi had better get out of my way, Nick said, shouldering into the room. He and Alice were the last of the group, Mary having opted to stay in, and the rest of their friends studying for finals already. In truth, Nick was tempted to use the same excuse. However, after letting himself go and tearing in to Dean Blaine, he felt like he needed to recenter his character. Sadly, a social environment full of supers was the best place for that.
"Welcome, Fish,"
said a tall, blonde girl holding a red plastic cup. She and Alice had a slight similarity, in the way that a dog and a wolf can look the same if one isn't paying attention. She wasn't imposing, per se,
but the way she walked, smiled, and even tossed her hair left no doubt in anyone's mind that this woman was a warrior. I'm glad you guys made it out. My name is Angela, and this is my house. Thank you for inviting us, Vince said politely. No worries. It's a tradition to invite those of you who last this long to join us. It's our way of saying good job on getting this far, and that we're welcoming you into the super community at Lander. Angela replied.
This party is all supers?
Alex asked. You got it, Angela confirmed. Feel free to let down your hair and be yourself. Tonight, your secret identity is safe with us.
We really appreciate it, Alice said, using all of her willpower not to curtsy.
She had been rapidly realizing that the stiff formality she had learned at Daddy's functions were not suited to the college environment. Plus, she was wearing slacks, so she would have looked ridiculous.
Like I said, no big deal, Angela assured. Besides, you had the balls to come. That means you belong here. You'd be amazed how many people who are here to learn about fighting life-and-death battles are too squeamish to come out to a party with older students.
That, and it is the beginning of finals, Herschel pointed out.
Which is why this also shows us who the irresponsible crowd is, Angela said with a wink. Anyway, the keg is in the garage, and we have some liquor on the counter. Help yourself to whatever you want. Buying for the freshmen is also part of the tradition.
We're underage, Vince said.
As am I. As are most of us here, in fact. I recommend you enjoy it while you can, though. Apparently, once you hit junior year, there isn't enough free time for a beer or a party, Angela said. Your call, though. Drink or don't, but mingle and have some fun either way. With that, Angela sauntered back off into the shapeless blob of people.
Sasha's going to be pissed she missed a chance to be irresponsible, Vince commented once she was gone.
So's Roy, Herschel added. Think he'll want to come out?
Alex asked.
Absolutely. Now ask me if I care, Herschel said with a sideways grin. Come on, guys, let's mingle.
A bit surprised at being led by the most socially awkward of the group, everyone followed Herschel as he led them into the kitchen, where most people were gathered. Given that the kitchen was where the liquor was kept, as well as the cups, not to mention that it was only a door away from the keg in the garage, it was the logical gathering place for the attendees. What seemed illogical, though, was the ease with which Herschel was navigating them through it. He was greeting people, shaking hands, getting names, and moving onward. It was oddly mind-blowing, though it shouldn't have been. After all, Herschel was a role player, and with Roy's memories, this was a role he knew by heart. If the others were surprised by his rapport with the older students, they were flabbergasted when Herschel finally reached the cups and plucked a few from the top.
What does everybody want?
Herschel asked, turning his attention to the liquor selection.
Are you serious? Vince asked in a nearly strangled voice. You know we can't drink.
No, I know that we legally shouldn't drink. I also know that since I didn't drive here, I feel like seeing what it's like firsthand for once. And it seems like these first 2 years are going to be the only chance we'll get. More importantly, I don't want to go through college with my alter ego as the only one doing stupid crap and trying new things, Herschel said, not without conviction.
He didn't feel quite as certain as he sounded, but he was determined to make some memories of his own. His talk with Alex had made him realize how easily he defaulted to letting Roy be the one to go party or chase the girl. This was his life too, damn it.
Spoken like a man after my own heart, Nick said, stepping to Herschel's side. Let me try the gin.
And?
Herschel asked. Ice?
You want straight gin for your first taste of alcohol,
Herschel said incredulously.
I thought that's how you were supposed to take it,
Nick lied.
Never mind, I'll make you something myself. Roy's tried tons of drinks,
Herschel said, waving off Nick.
Anyone else?
Alice cautiously raised her hand, and Alex joined more enthusiastically.
Guess that makes me the designated driver,
Vince grumbled.
Aw, cheer up, Silver,
Nick consoled him.
At least you can see things better than us from up on your moral high ground.
I'm not on the high ground. I get why you guys want to try it. That's just not my thing, Vince defended.
Well, bottoms up to Vince for being our reliable driver, then,
Nick said, accepting a drink from Herschel and toasting with it. He took a sip and was pleasantly surprised. Nick had been drinking since childhood and actually did prefer straight gin, but for a mixed drink, Herschel's concoction was pretty good. The smiles and smacks of the rest of the group confirmed his opinion.
That's tasty, Herschel, Alice complimented. All I've had is wine with dinner once or twice, and this is way better.
I do what I can, Herschel said modestly.
What are you drinking?
Alex asked, noting Herschel's liquid was a different color.
Screwdriver,
Herschel replied.
Your drinks have whiskey in them, and I don't drink whiskey.
Much as I love your same old faces, let's get out of this corner and get our mingle on, Nick said, gesturing grandly. He began wading back into the crowd, the others following with far less grandeur. Not without any, mind you, just with less. 54. Walking around the party was a somewhat surreal experience. Sure, it was a new environment to most of them, but that in itself wasn't overpowering. The odd part was just how normal everything seemed. Until it didn't. Seeing a guy talking to a hot girl at a party, normal. Seeing that same guy produce a rose made of perfect glass from nowhere, significantly less normal. It wasn't the extraordinary parts that seemed out of place, though. It was seeing them used so casually in a place like this. Slowly, it was dawning on the Lander freshmen just how paranoid the secret identity had made them over the semester. Hiding their nature was hardly a new experience for some, but it struck Alice that she hadn't gone flying since she'd first learned she was able to. Sure, she'd used it here and there in training, but that wasn't the same thing as soaring above world. Alex, too, was missing the days when he didn't have to keep his nature hidden away under lock and key. As the group maneuvered the party, they saw mostly unfamiliar faces. Occasionally, a member would recognize a sophomore that they'd seen in the hall a few times. However, that can hardly be considered the same as seeing a friend. Gradually, though, more small, huddled groups of freshmen joined the party. They moved in packs, unconsciously fearful that they would be picked off should they separate from the herd. Such fears seemed baseless, as all the older students went out of their way to show kindness and a welcoming attitude to the freshmen. Still, the small groups maintained their tight formations. It was in one other such group that Vince finally saw someone he knew outside of his own social circle.
Hey, Vince called out. Thomas, right?
Right,
Thomas answered, leading his own small circle toward Vince's. Smacked over the head with a sudden realization of potential unwanted conversation topics, Vince detached himself from his friends and intercepted Thomas on the premise of a friendly handshake.
"Didn't expect to see you here," Vince said with a large smile, squeezing and pumping Thomas's hand.
"Ditto,"
Thomas echoed.
"I thought you'd have had your fill of parties."
No, you know me, social butterfly. Anyway, who are your friends? Vince asked hastily.
Oh, this is Stella and Violet,
Thomas said, taking a step to the side and indicating each girl in turn. Vince already knew Stella on sight, but Violet turned out to be an almost unremarkable girl from their class. Average height, cute without being eye-catching, but with hair dyed a shade of purple so deep it was almost black, hence the almost quantifier. Nice to meet you both, Vince said, resisting the urge to look over his shoulder and see if the others were still hovering in the area. I never got a chance to say it in person, but thank you again.
No prob, Stella quipped. So you don't want your buddies to know you got your ass kicked, huh?
Beg pardon? Vince nearly choked on his words.
What Stella is trying to say is that it's clear you wanted to greet us before this conversation was in earshot of your friends, and will, of course, respect your wish for privacy,
Violet said, a lilting and slightly high-pitched voice piping out of her. Oh, yes, Vince admitted. I appreciate what you did, but I haven't really told them about what happened.
There is no shame in what happened to you, Thomas assured him. We will, as Violet said, of course, respect your wishes.
Sort of a moot point, anyway. Looks like they wandered off,
Stella pointed out. Huh, Vince noticed. That they did.
Well, now we get to talk to you outside of a combat situation, so all the better for us,
Violet said cheerfully. Thank you, Vince said again, unsure of how to respond to such a statement. An honest thought and change of subject both occurred to him at once. Wasn't there someone else with you that night?
Oh, that was my roommate Camille,
Violet explained.
She's not big on parties. I pretty much had to drag her out of the house that night.
Too bad. I would have liked to thank her in person, Vince said.
Do it Monday, then, Stella said. In the meantime, how about showing us where the beer in this joint is?
Why are we leaving Vince?
Alex asked, as Nick herded the group away after a minute or so of standing around.
Because it's a party, and the point is to meet new people, not feel guilted into sticking with the ones you already know, Nick explained.
Still, it seems like we should have said something,
Alex objected again.
I'm actually with Nick on this one, Herschel agreed. He was mingling with new people. Us hanging around wasn't going to help him with that. Besides, it's a small house. He can find us when he's ready. In the meantime, we can do some mingling of our own, and I think I see the perfect opportunity now.
Herschel picked up his pace, leading the others to a ping-pong table on which cups were being arranged in a triangular formation and beer was being poured into them.
Anyone got the next game?
Herschel asked.
Nah,
replied a tall boy with black hair who was setting up the cups on one side.
You want in?
Sure,
Herschel replied. He turned back to look at the others.
Who wants to play with me?
I'll watch and learn the game first,
Alice said.
Still working on my first drink. I'm out,
Alex said.
Guess that leaves me,
Nick shrugged, stepping up and taking his place on one side of the table. The other team took their place, and the dark-haired boy laid down the rules.
One bounce is allowed. Any more and you can smack it away. Distractions and trash talk are fine as long as you don't touch the ball. Game can't be won until one team misses and another scores in the same round. So if we keep scoring, neither cup gets removed. Powers are fair game.
Nick raised an eyebrow.
You sure about that?
Totally, the boy confirmed. It makes these games a lot more fun. Besides, how often do we get to just let go and use them?
They're only allowed on your turn, though, and no deflecting with it unless your opponent has bounced more than once.
Fair enough, Herschel agreed. I'm Herschel, and this is Nick.
Ben and Chris, said the dark-haired boy, gesturing first to himself, then to his darker-skinned companion. You need a warm-up round? Nah, Herschel said. Let's do this.
55. How do you guys know each other? Vince asked, once the ladies had gotten their cups and beer to fill them. Thomas, like Vince, had found the idea of underage drinking unbecoming of one reaching for the goal of being a hero.
Thomas and I dated for a bit in the first month, Violet said. It didn't work out too well, but we stayed friends. I met Stella at the gym one day, when I was looking for a sparring partner. We gave each other a good workout and decided to do it again the next day. We kept fighting, and somewhere along the way, started doing stuff outside of beating each other senseless.
Wow, Vince said. You must be pretty tough if you can fight someone who can turn into solid steel.
Sort of, Violet admitted,
blushing slightly.
I manipulate density, so I can make myself denser than titanium, or so insubstantial that I pass through walls. I can do it in objects, too. That's how I weakened the ice and popped you out that night.
She's a handful when you get her in the fighting mood, Stella complimented. She's only one rank behind me at 3.
Impressive, Vince agreed. And Thomas, you have some sort of energy beams? I saw them when you grabbed Michael.
Essentially, Thomas nodded. I command my inner energy outward of my body. It shapes according to my will, though the dimensions are limited by the amount I can summon. In my time at Lander, it has grown significantly stronger, though.
Really? Just from extreme exercise? Vince asked.
The exercise certainly helps, but I attribute it more to the constant training I do in my off time. Having a variety of skilled opponents forced me to learn new styles of fighting, and that helped me grow as a warrior.
Thomas explained. I see, Vince said. It sounds like you spend a lot of time training outside of class.
We all do, Violet chirped in. Everyone higher up says it's crazy easy to go from the top to the bottom in your first year if you don't work hard.
It is especially important in cases like my own, Thomas pointed out. I am ranked as 7, but my power could easily be viewed as ancillary, more useful as support than combat. I have to work very hard to demonstrate otherwise.
You've got a leg up on me, Vince said with a smile he didn't feel. I'm only at 8.
I'd heard about how you were ranked that high after losing your first bout. You must have put on a hell of a show, Thomas said.
He took on that douche we pulled off of him. Guess that counts for something, Stella said.
Not to mention Michael is the worst type of opponent for me, Vince said, only half defensively. This whole line of conversation was making him realize just how little effort he was putting in compared to some of the other students. He'd been avoiding additional conflict for fear of having to charge up his powers more. That might be a reality he'd have to face sooner than expected if he wanted to keep up with people this determined, though.
Why is he your worst type? Violet asked.
I absorb energy, Vince explained. Michael's power is cold-based. Cold is literally the absence of energy. So he can come at me all day, and I can't absorb anything he throws.
Cool power, though, Stella said. What all can you absorb?
Oh, you know, just the basics, Vince deflected. Hey, what's going on over there? What was going on over there was a surprisingly close battle of beer pong with both teams down to a single cup. As it turned out, Ben was a shifter like Herschel, so his powers were out of commission until he decided to make the change. So far, he was doing well enough in normal form. Herschel was keeping up decently, but it was really Nick and Chris that were the juggernauts of the game. Chris, it turned out, had the power to teleport objects he touched. This made his style of play less bouncing-based and more just teleporting directly over the cup he wanted. That should have sealed the game, save only for the Nick factor. With his honed dexterity and power over luck, Nick was tearing up the table on par with his opponent. Sure, he should have been laying low, squeezing by without drawing attention, staying in the middle ground, but damn it, this was fun. He'd been in such a secondary position at Lander, so accustomed to the idea that everyone around him was better at everything. They were stronger, they were faster, a few of them were even smarter. For the first time in months, though, he was doing something he could win at. It felt good to be a winner. It reminded him of who he really was under his ridiculous facade. Besides, it wasn't like people didn't already know what his power was. It would have been more suspicious if he hadn't been running the table. At least, that's what he told himself, as he dunked yet another ball into a red cup. "Fucker," Ben swore, chugging down the contents.
"You're good, Sunglasses. You're real good,"
Chris told him, picking up the ball for his turn.
"But me? I don't miss."
The ball vanished from Chris's hand and reappeared a few inches over one of the remaining cups on Herschel and Nick's side. Nick threw Herschel a glance, and the heavier boy took the cup and guzzled. He was beginning to feel all the alcohol, and far sooner than he'd expected. Roy always had such insane tolerance that Herschel had forgotten somewhere along the way that it didn't extend to him. He needed to finish this game soon if they were going to have a chance.
"Come on, Herschel," Alice cheered in spite of herself. "Sink it to keep the pressure on."
Herschel drew in a breath and took his aim. He released the ball, and it flew almost true. As it landed for its first bounce, it veered ever so slightly off course, sending it into the cup's rim instead of the bitter beer inside.
"Oh, so sorry there, freshman," Ben taunted. "Looks like you just don't know how to push through in the clutch. Don't worry, though. That comes with experience."
On the word experience, Ben tossed his own ball. It arced gracefully through the air, hopping once and depositing itself in the lone remaining cup in front of Nick. Without a second glance, Nick scooped up the red cup of failure and did his duty.
"Ah, well, win some, lose some," Herschel said, trying to stay steady in spite of a slowly mounting urge to slur. "You fought a good game," Ben said sportingly. "Chris and I haven't had anyone go that long with us in a long time. Up for another?" "Not sure about Nick, but I'm going to pass," Herschel replied.
"I can keep going," Nick said with a smile.
Unlike Herschel, Nick had earned his tolerance for alcohol the hard way and was nowhere near hitting his limits.
"Sad to see you go, big boy,"
Chris said.
"You were the weak link in the team anyway."
"Dude," Ben snapped at his friend, "be nice."
"Fuck you! I've never been on board with this coddle the freshman idea,"
Chris shot back.
"It's fine," Herschel said with a grin. "I was the weak link. It's true, so how bad could it be that he said it?"
"I'm sorry," Ben apologized. "My friend can be an asshole when he's competing and drinking."
"Like I said, it's fine," Herschel shrugged.
"Yeah, Ben, it's fine. He knows he can't drink. Next game I say we take on the broad and the pussy you wanted to watch,"
Chris said with a snicker.
"Hey!"
This was actually snapped by Alice, Alex, and Nick simultaneously. In addition to yelling, Alex was searching for something not too property damaging to throw at Chris. Alice, unfortunately, lacked such means of recourse, but was unhappy nonetheless. Before any of them could take any action, though, Herschel acted first. He held up his right hand in a swift, stopping motion, honed from years of commanding troops. Elf troops battling an orc invasion, admittedly, but command skills were command skills, regardless of the venue in which they were acquired.
Alex? Herschel said, in an oddly still voice. May I have your drink, please? Sure, Alex said, handing Herschel his cup and the remaining liquid inside. Thank you, Herschel replied, swallowing the last of it in one gulp. He handed the cup back to Alex and walked back over to the table. I thought you didn't drink whiskey, Alex commented.
He didn't,
came a deeper, rougher voice from Herschel's throat. A slow ripple seemed to move across Herschel's body, giving him an amorphous appearance. His torso and limbs lengthened, muscles emerged where only fat had been, and his face became leaner and more chiseled. It happened in a matter of seconds, and then someone totally different was standing where Herschel had been.
I do, said Roy, his eyes hard, and a smile that seemed more dangerous than joyful slicing across his face. Now, I'm going to show you what happens to the poor bastards who question the drinking skills of a Daniels man.
56. Roy had changed the game, and not in a figurative sense.
Whiskey, Roy reiterated.
Excuse me?
Ben asked, trying to understand.
Your boy called me out, so I'm up in the stakes. We play with half cups of whiskey instead of beer, unless you girls think you can handle full ones, Roy replied.
Mary might bitch him out for being condescending, but given the circumstances, he was confident he could talk his way out of too much earache.
Half is fine, Chris said, answering for his partner. Mind if Ben changes first?
Be my guest, Roy replied with a generous smile.
Ben's features melded together, his skin becoming scaly and thick, while his hair retreated into his head. His pupils became vertical slits, and small, dagger-like claws grew out from his hand.
Snake Man? Roy asked when Ben's transformation was done.
Closer to lizard, actually,
Ben corrected with a shrug. His voice sounded a bit more like sandpaper rubbing together than it had before, but there weren't any of the drawn-out S sounds that one might have expected from his appearance.
Hope that form comes with improved aim, Roy said.
Ben grinned, an act which had become several degrees more disturbing.
It does.
Good. You won the last game, so you shoot first once the cups are filled, Roy said.
Agreed, Chris said. We'll get the whiskey.
Fine by me, Roy said.
Once the two had ventured off to the kitchen, though, Roy immediately turned his attention on Nick.
Please, please, please tell me you can at least halfway hold your liquor.
This took an interesting turn somewhere, Vince said, as he sidled up to Alice and Alex, joining in the slowly growing crowd watching the cups be filled.
I feel like we should have expected it somehow, Alex replied. So who are your friends?
Oh, right, Vince said, reddening at his blunder. A quick round of introductions later, and everyone was gathered to observe the beginning of the rematch.
I get Roy doing this, but why is Nick going along with it?
Alice wondered aloud.
Because it's fun, Alex answered automatically.
The other threw him a speculative look, so he clarified.
I sense thoughts and emotions too, remember? Just because I don't pick up with the clarity of Mary doesn't mean I can't feel the waves of enjoyment flooding off of Nick.
He does love being the center of attention, Vince pointed out.
No, the kid who wears sunglasses all the time likes people looking at him? I never would have put that one together,
Stella snickered.
Hush, you,
Violet chided her.
It can't be easy to have a power like luck. I mean, How are you even sure when it's working, or if it's just coincidence? That has to make it difficult staying afloat in the HCP.
Knowing Nick, I think he just assumes everything good is his power at work, Alice said.
Knowing Nick, I'm not so sure that it isn't, Vince countered.
Alice opened her mouth to say otherwise, then thought better of it.
I hope luck powers come packaged with a new liver or the ability to turn alcohol into water. Otherwise, we'll be carting him out of here if they lose.
I guess that means we're hoping they win,
Alex said.
Of course, Vince said automatically.
Then shut up and cheer, because they're starting.
Roy's powers didn't actually make him any better at beer pong than Herschel. Sure, his senses were a little sharper, and of course he had strength and endurance far beyond the human threshold. However, none of that made bouncing a ping-pong ball into a cup an easier task. What did help, though, was a wealth of experience playing drinking games, a nearly endless alcohol tolerance, and more confidence than a rooster in a henhouse.
"Suck it!"
Roy called as the ball left his hand, hurtling through the air and landing deftly in one of the few remaining cups on the other side of the table. Chris's hand hesitantly picked up said cup, removed the ball, and choked down the contents. He and Ben were veteran beer pong players, using his power and Ben's skill to triumph over nearly every opponent. Since they usually won, though, they had to drink less, and as they worked their way through an ocean of whiskey, it had begun to dawn on the duo that this had a significant disadvantage at times. Ben was holding up well thanks to his own enhanced endurance, but Chris's awareness and focus were deteriorating by the minute.
"You're shot," Nick said cheerily.
Chris nodded in acknowledgement and took several deep breaths. He cleared his mind and held the ball firmly. His eyes locked on the area over one of the remaining cups on Nick and Roy's side, and with a burst of energy, the ball snapped out of his hand in a puff of smoke. It reappeared almost instantaneously, dropping straight down toward the cup. Chris's aim had been off, though, and the ball struck the cup's rim rather than the brown liquid below. It took a bad hop and struck the table once before landing on the carpet.
"And that's the game," Roy announced, plucking the ball from the ground and dousing it in a cup of water. "You think you've won just because I missed once?" Chris challenged.
"I know we've won, because you've hit the point where you can't focus properly. Ben is good, but not good enough to take on both of us. And my money says you've always used your power, so you don't have any real skills at this game,"
Roy explained.
"I'm fine,"
Chris spit back defiantly.
"I just slipped."
"Right, and as more alcohol is digested and enters the bloodstream, you're going to find it easier to teleport things precisely," Nick said. "Never thought I'd say this, but Roy is right. Out of respect for your partner, we'll let you take the remaining cups and walk away from the game so you don't have to slam them down."
"Fuck you! Take your shot,"
Chris replied.
"Now hold on, man,"
Ben said, butting in.
"I'm not staying in shifted form all night, and when I go back, there will still be a lot of alcohol in my system to process. They're actually being nice and letting us call it here, so I say we take them up on it. They upped the stakes and played better. No big deal. It's just a stupid game of beer pong."
"I am not giving up," Chris said, "and I am not losing to a damn freshman."
"So be it," Nick said, shrugging.
He took the ball from Roy and tossed it casually into the air. It sailed effortlessly into one of the remaining three cups.
"I'm not drinking anymore,"
Ben declared, as Chris's eyes fell on him.
"I told you, I wanted to be done."
"Fine, I'll do it myself then,"
Chris countered,
snagging the cup and forcing it all down in one swallow.
"You're shut,"
he said, wiping his mouth and handing the ball to Ben. In response, Ben's skin grew pink as he shifted back to his regular form.
"I told you, I'm out. And you should be too. You're going to be sick as a dog."
"Who gives a shit?"
Chris said, weaving his body back to facing the table.
"Me."
The voice that made that declaration was very calm, very relaxed, and contained not so much as an iota of threat in its tone. At the same time, everyone in range discerned a simple truth from that voice, something that radiated down and registered on a primal level. The owner of that voice was not to be fucked with.
"Now, Chris," Angela continued, walking up to him as the crowd parted before her, "we know that you're an asshole, but you're our asshole. We put up with your crap out of love and camaraderie. I'm going to be feeling a lot less love if you start throwing up in my house."
Chris's gaze locked on the tall girl in front of him. She was smiling placidly and had open, caring body language. Physically, she seemed the opposite of daunting. It was more like a gentle kitten asking a favor. Chris had been in class with her for a year and a half, though. He was intoxicated and rapidly getting worse. But he wasn't drunk enough to make the mistake of crossing her. It was hard to imagine the poor bastard whoever had been that drunk.
"Good game, guys,"
Chris said, stumbling away from the table.
"Sorry, I got a little too competitive there."
"No problem," Nick said graciously.
"Come again anytime,"
Roy sniped as Ben led Chris away, presumably to the bushes or an unoccupied toilet to try and forcibly reduce the amount of alcohol assaulting his system.
"Now, as for you two," Angela said, turning her attention to the winners, "nice game. Try to keep the pissing matches to a minimum in the future, though. If someone gets angry and a fight starts, all of our identities are in danger. Not to mention, two supers can tear up a house in no time flat."
"My apologies," Nick said. "Things got a bit out of hand, and our drive to win got the better of us."
"You're fine. Chris's liver will recover, and you provided some excellent entertainment. I'm just saying, be careful who you challenge around here. Looks can be very deceiving."
Roy and Nick nodded agreement, and if Mary were there, she would have heard all four of her dorm mates sharing almost the exact same thought simultaneously. There were variations, of course, with Roy's being a bit more racy, and Vince's leaning more toward a guilty self-admission, but the overall wording was inherently similar.
"Lady, you don't know the half of it."
"Surely there must be something more interesting to do on a Saturday night than playing chess,"
Mr. Numbers commented while Mary was pondering her next move.
"Nah, I'm not much of a party girl. Besides, they can't get into that much trouble without me,"
she said. 57. The days on the Lander campus slipped by, and finals season went into full swing. Students in the HCP were expected to maintain at least a C average in their normal courses, so even though many would have preferred to let schoolwork fall by the wayside, the super community found itself stressed out and studying hard. Adding to the anxiety of the freshman class was fear of the unknown, manifesting in terror and rumors regarding their end-of-semester exam in gym. Coach George had announced it would take place on December 17th, the day after all normal finals were wrapped. Anyone who didn't show up was assumed to be dropping out of the program. Different students were dealing with this looming challenge in different ways. Some were hoarding information, rumor-mongering in a desperate attempt to find anything that would give them an edge. Others were throwing themselves into their other classes, working hard in a sort of cosmic trade-out for the class they wished they could be preparing for. Some, though, had altogether unique coping methods.
I really don't see how having a quantum leap marathon is an appropriate way to spend the last Saturday we have for studying, Vince said, as Nick rearranged the furniture to allow for more viewers.
I still have a math final. Isn't quantum a mathy word?
Seriously, Nick.
Look, people need to chill out today,
Nick explained.
Research shows that relaxed people test better than stressed out ones. I'm offering that opportunity in the form of classic sci-fi television. No one is making you partake in it.
Except that you commandeered the boys' lounge, Vince pointed out. You've got a room in a library left, Nick countered.
Though you, more than any of us, could use a day to do nothing.
You're worrying so much, I think your hair has started to shift in hue from silver to white.
Funny, Vince said.
How can you be so calm about all this? In 4 days, we have to take our semester final for gym, a test that's going to determine if we're still in the program after Christmas. And no one has any idea what it entails.
Oh, plenty of people know what it is. They just aren't telling us freshmen. I can only assume it's what constitutes hazing around here.
Psychological torture, if you will, Nick said.
Besides, every test we take will be determining if we're still in the program. Better to learn how to go with the flow now and save yourself from an ulcer by the time we're juniors.
We could be spending this time studying for other tests at least, Vince said.
Buddy, this whole last month has been almost nothing but study group and reviews. I don't know about you, but I am burned out. Me rereading the same crap today isn't going to do a lick of good. Spending some time with my friends, though, that one might have some positive effects.
Given the two choices, I'm going with the one that involves time travel and popcorn, Nick said.
Vince laughed a bit in spite of himself.
I don't know how you do it, Nick. You're the only person here who can just roll through things so carefree. I'm seriously beginning to believe that's your actual power.
Just an easygoing guy, I guess, Nick lied. Let things fall where they may and do the best you can. Take our gym final, for example. Sure, I don't know what's coming, but neither did any other class before me, and they still seem to have students graduating.
Far fewer than we do currently, though, Vince said.
So maybe this will weed out a few more of ours, and maybe I'll be one of them. If I thought spending the day holed up in my room, agonizing over the possibilities would help, then I'd... No, even then I still probably wouldn't do it.
That's beside the point, though, since it doesn't help, Nick said.
Too bad. I've logged some serious hours pursuing that strategy, Vince quipped.
Never too late to change horses, Nick said.
Until the race starts, Vince replied.
You'd be surprised some of the things I've seen happen on a racetrack, Nick said.
That will have to wait for another day, though, because I need to finish moving all this crap before the others arrive.
Who all is joining you in your little festivity anyway?
Mary took her last final yesterday, so she's down. Herschel, Alex, and Will all said they'd be coming. Alice said she will stop by, but wouldn't commit to any more than that. Oh, and I think Will's sister might come, Nick said, ticking off the attendance on his fingers.
Her name is Jill. It's one letter off from Will. Why is it you can't ever seem to remember that?
Vince asked.
Because my brain is just too damn chock full of knowledge to take on anything new at this point. See what I mean about needing a day off?
Vince raised his hands in surrender.
Okay, you win.
Put me on the list. I'll spend my day watching television with you guys instead of expanding my mind.
If you're looking for mind expansion, I'm pretty sure those guys who play Ultimate Frisbee on the lawn and listen to indie music keep some on them,
Nick informed him.
Huh?
Never mind. Should have known you wouldn't get that joke.
Boy Scout, Nick said. So, you going to invite your woman? Nah, she's visiting her parents this weekend, Vince said. Oh, that's cool that